Oregon legislators have less than a month now to finish up work on the budget for the next two-year budget cycle, and they have some big decisions yet to make with big dollar figures attached. One of those is a proposal from Governor Kate Brown to put $100 million into building affordable housing across the state. It's the same proposal favored by Governor John Kitzhaber before he resigned in February. Let's talk about what $100 million might buy. We have with us on the phone Janet Bird, who's the Executive Director for Neighborhood Partnerships, which is intricately involved with the efforts to get more affordable housing around the state of Oregon. Janet, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeffrey. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us a bit about Neighborhood Partnerships and its work with the Statewide Housing Alliance.
So Neighborhood Partnerships is a statewide nonprofit organization, and we've been around we're in our 26th year. For about the last 10 years, we have had the opportunity to convene a coalition of housing advocates, organizations from all across the state, including some local governments, nonprofits, housing developers, et cetera. And we come together as the Housing Alliance and work to create housing opportunity through both funding proposals in the state legislature as well as policy change.
So it sounds like a lot of time working with legislators to get and keep attention on housing.
We try very hard to help legislators understand the importance that housing plays in pretty much every goal that the state has, and to elevate it in importance in budget discussions and policy discussions.
There was some success, I understand, in the 2009 legislature, which from looking at your website, it appears is still a source of some pride within the folks on the Housing Alliance. Tell us about what the 2009 legislature did in this area.
So what was different about the 2009 legislative session was the creation of an ongoing revenue stream for affordable housing. The legislature passed a document recording fee on all documents that record real estate transactions, so mortgages, et cetera. There's a $15 fee that was actually increased in 2013 to $20 to add money for veterans housing. And the document recording fee generates, it's about $20 million a biennium that is pretty flexible money to go both into home ownership, to ending homelessness, and to the creation of new multifamily affordable housing.
But basically the idea being that you're dealing at a certain income level and downward.
Yes, pretty much everything goes to folks at 80% of median income or lower. Much of it is targeted to folks at even lower income levels than that. So folks coming out of homelessness, folks with pretty much no income at all, or temporary breaks in income, folks on fixed incomes, Social Security, et cetera.
So before the dedicated income stream from the document recording fee, which you say brings in about $20 million a biennium, were there biennia in which there was no money allocated for housing in Oregon?
So that's a great question. My answer will be as uncomplicated as I can make it. A lot of money comes to the state of Oregon from the federal government to do housing development. That tends to come with a lot of rules and regulations and strings, but that money does still come. There's a federal low-income housing tax credit program. There's money that comes to local jurisdictions, community development block grant, and there's a program called HOME. There has always been a little bit of state money here and there. There's actually money that comes from the public purpose charge on utilities that goes into affordable housing development, and the connection there is creating housing that's somewhat energy efficient that allows people to live close to where they work, et cetera. There's always also been a little bit of general fund money or state resource, but it kind of comes and goes. And so the idea behind big proposals like the document recording fee and the current proposal, this biennium, for the $100 million in general obligation bonds is to be able to do something that's going to be on a bigger scale and ongoing to create that lasting impact that we know we need in our communities.
Janet Bird's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Executive Director of Neighborhood Partnerships, part of the Oregon Housing Alliance. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about potentially getting $100 million more into affordable housing in the state of Oregon during the next biennium. 800-838-3760, our phone number, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I have to believe that Kate Brown and before her John Kitzhaber would not be proposing $100 million for housing if there weren't some perception that that Oregon is a bit in arrears in keeping up with affordable housing.
So I think what we see across the state is just need kind of at every income level and in every housing sector. And I think that that understanding of housing need is what's driving this. We've seen over the last couple legislative sessions more and more talk in all kinds of committees about the ways that housing shortages, housing unaffordability, really hinder some of the state goals moving forward. So one connection that gets talked about a lot is the connection to children's success in school and success in their early years creating a foundation. We know that instability, that movement or changing schools, really sets kids back educationally. Obviously, the stress of unaffordable housing or of displacement or homelessness is even more significant in terms of the impact that it has on kids being able to keep their learning going forward and their social development and all the things that are so critical to them being healthy and contributing adults, you know, being able to really maximize their potential. We also hear a lot of talk about the connection of housing to economic development. We hear from counties that can't hire, employers can't hire, or even county governments can't hire. I heard a story the other day about a city that had a city manager candidate that wasn't able to live in their community because they couldn't find affordable housing or affordable housing options. So, you know, we hear employers, private employers, as well as public employers, talking about the need for even, you know, kind of workforce housing for folks who are making that 80% or 100% of the area median income. There's just really no housing stock available. So it's, and then, you know, I heard that you're going to be talking later this morning about some of the homelessness issues in Eugene. Mm-hmm. We see homelessness and chronic homelessness in every community around the state at really alarming rates, and people are really desperate to get folks away from sleeping on the streets, sleeping in parks, sleeping in their cars, knowing that that really is not how we want to be as communities.
So $100 million seems like a big figure, and I know that I just was reading this morning about the fact that the co-chairs and Ways and Means are deciding not to talk publicly about dollar amounts until the budget work is finalized. But what potentially could $100 million buy over the next 2 years in the state of Oregon in terms of affordable housing?
So it's important to realize that the $100 million would be spent over time, mm-hmm. So it actually probably wouldn't.
So not just 2 years.
Right, and it wouldn't be fully allocated probably until the end of this biennium because bonding takes a little while to sort of move through the pipeline, and projects would actually have to be named before the bonds were sold. So the $100 million it's a multi-year proposal. We are talking about it as the first step in a series of investments because we recognize that it's going to get us part of the way there, somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 new housing units would be built with this $100 million. One of the things that's been really exciting is it's a new funding source. It's not caught up in the rules that the federal funding streams have. It could be innovative. It could layer with all sorts of other community resources and things that are available or brought forth by the community. And we're seeing partners really step up with creative ideas about how to leverage some of the resources that they already control, whether that's land or rent assistance vouchers or community partners that are providing services. So really exciting ideas coming forward to do things differently and to have real impact in our communities.
Janet Bird's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about building more affordable housing in Oregon and the proposal of the governor to put $100 million toward the effort. Janet's the executive director at Neighborhood Partnerships. You can join us at 800-838-3760 around the region by email jx@jeffnet.org. So are there, I hate to go back to the terminology used for the stimulus package from the federal government, but are there shovel-ready projects that are just waiting for money to be assigned to them that could begin springing up pretty much as soon as the money is as the decision is made?
What we are seeing, and we've actually asked our partners to come forward with ideas, and so there some of that is available on our website. But yes, we are seeing people come forward. Housing development is a long-term process. It takes a while to find a piece of land, et cetera. But there are many housing development partners, housing authorities, nonprofit organizations, et cetera, who are in the business of housing development. And so, they've had their eye on a parcel of land, or they've accumulated some resource that they're ready to put together into a housing development or housing opportunity. And yeah, I mean, those ideas are there. And again, kind of a range of ideas, and that's part of what's really exciting about this. Small projects, people wanting to do, even folks talking about tiny home developments or alternative modes of construction, modular construction, et cetera, as well as some, in urban areas, some more significant, probably 40 or 50 unit, multifamily apartment homes, et cetera.
Let's take a call here. We have Ryan and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Janet Bird. We're talking housing in Oregon.
Well, I can't think of a more important issue to be talking about because of all the reasons you said, the connection to economic development, health, wellness, and education. And, in Oregon, I wish was more proactive. I really like the Oregon Bank idea, and I think that if we could get an Oregon Bank by the kicker that could create low interest loans that would actually eventually return the money back to the bank is the kind of conversation we need to have. And this $100 million could be the little first glimmering of that crystallization. Is there any conversation like that going on?
Is there an Oregon State Bank as has been proposed?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, the idea of there being an Oregon State Investment Bank.
All right.
That could, in part, help fund projects like this during the good times so that we get the infrastructure and the economic development to help us be more resilient when things don't go so well.
Okay. Thanks for that, Ryan. Appreciate it. Janet, thoughts?
So that's a great question. This has not really been tied to conversations specifically about an Oregon State Bank, but there are ties to that kind of opportunity. So I should also be clear, this $100 million isn't going out as loans. It's going out as equity investment or cash into projects. So sometimes bonds need to be repaid. This set of bonds would be repaid from tax revenues. So it's a general obligation bond to be repaid by general fund or state tax revenues or state lottery revenues. There's still some discussion about whether these are general fund or lottery-backed bonds. But there are a couple things. So the State Housing Agency, Oregon Housing and Community Services, in many ways functions as a public bank. They do have bonding authority. They have the ability to do both loans and grants. They will have the opportunity with this bonding program to have partial ownership interest in the properties. There's also a mechanism called the Oregon Affordable Housing Tax Credit, which is a state income tax credit that goes to lenders into affordable housing. and it serves to buy down the permanent mortgage loan interest. So if an interest rate, a market interest rate on commercial housing development was 6%, it would buy it down 4% to 2%. And so that's as far as we've gotten in terms of really realizing the potential of leveraging those lending opportunities. But it's your caller, Ryan, was absolutely right that that's an important part of making this successful going forward, is figuring out what are those other opportunities and how do we leverage other state resources or private resources.
Janet, just a few seconds left. If we talk about building 3,000, 4,000 units with the $100 million, does that erase pretty much what is perceived as the backlog now, or just make a dent in it?
It makes a dent in it. It takes out probably about 10% of what we know to be the need right now. So it is a beginning, and it's important to recognize that while it's a historic step, it's a first step. And so we're excited to be moving in this direction, and we'll be working hard to make sure the momentum continues.
We will see where the legislature goes over the course of the next couple of weeks. Of course, the new biennium begins on July 1st. Janet Bird, the Executive Director of Neighborhood Partnerships, talking about the proposal for $100 million for housing allocated by this legislature in the state of Oregon. Janet, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care.